We're going to start reading at verse number 7 of the book of Hosea, 8th chapter. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel. Therein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass, alone by himself. Ephraim hath harried lovers. Yea, though they have harried among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrificed flesh for the sacrifice of mine offering and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you again today for the wonderful word of God. I thank you so much, Father, for the great privilege we have tonight to meet here together in this place. Lord, there's master's clubs going on out in the activity building downstairs. I pray, Father, for them, ask you, God, to do a real work there in the hearts of those, Father, that are there tonight. And also, Father, please help those who will be working with them, the leaders and the workers there. Now, Father, I want to thank you for the congregation here. We need you tonight. We need your power. We need your wisdom. And we just need you to help us through the word of God tonight. We'll thank you for it in the lovely, most wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. We pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message tonight, I've entitled it The Fenced Cities. We could give it a whole different bunch of titles because I'm going to be different with some dealing with some different things. But I've entitled it The Fenced Cities. And tonight I want to share with you, basically I'm going to be preaching out of verse 7 and also verse 14, the last verse of the chapter. When God said in verse 7, for they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind, he talks about after that, he talks about it has no stalk. In other words, they're not going to gather anything from their sowing as far as even the crops are concerned. He said he uses an illustration here of a crop. It has no stalk, so it can't produce anything. And he said, the bud shall yield no meal. In other words, if it does grow up, it does have a stalk, the bud or the ear of the corn or the wheat or whatever it might be won't have any meal on it, won't have anything. And then he says, if so be it yield, say it did yield something, say it did come up, it had stalk, it has meal on it. He said, it's the strangers is going to swallow it up. So in other words, they're sowing to the wind. And they're reaping the whirlwind. Now, what I want to do today is I don't want to basically deal with our past sowing. Now, we've done that. You've done that. I've done that. We've looked and said the Bible talks about, you reap what you sow. And we've talked about that. We've dealt with that. And we may just a little bit tonight. But basically tonight, what I want to do is talk about our future sowing. We all cannot really go back and take away the past sowing. It's there. It's been sowed. But we can help the future. We can help what goes on today and tomorrow and the next week and the future. We can help that by sowing correctly. I mean, you understand that. So what I'm wanting to do is kind of deal with that tonight and show you some scripture to start off with. What about this sowing? What kind of sowing does God expect us to do? And how have we got a plan for the future? You know, we say we can't help back here, and we can't. It's already done. It's taken care of. But we can help from here on, can't we? And you know, that's kind of what I want to deal with tonight. I want to show you, and we're going to start over in the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms, the 126th Psalm, and then I want to continue on and show you some things tonight that'll help you to maybe hopefully get a burden for sowing the right kind of seed, because it's going to be important on the other side. We're people who look today. We don't think too much about the other side of things. We forget that the future is coming, that eternity is coming. And we forget that sometimes, you know. We just kind of look about what's going to happen today. But let's look in Psalms 126 and this is familiar scripture, so I'm just not going to read it all. I'll just read verse 5 and verse 6. He says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Now, these are familiar verses of scripture. You've heard them. You've probably heard them preached on. But he says, just listen to what he says. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And then he goes to verse number 6 and kind of explains the verse number 5 and kind of elaborates on verse number 5. Because he says, "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing." You see, in verse 5, he said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." So he says, "He that goeth forth, weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, sheaves with him. Now, I want you to take a moment and think about it. What kind of sowing have you done spiritually? And what kind of sowing scripturally, bearing the precious seed, are you planning on doing in the future? Now, you know, according to the scripture here, you can't sow unless you go. Amen. The go of the gospel, I coined this word, isn't going to get any goier. I mean, it's as goier as it's going to get. When the scripture says go, it means go. I mean, don't you agree with that? Don't you understand that? See, God is talking here in this scripture. "He that goeth forth and weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless," what will happen? He will doubtless come again, he says, come again with rejoicing and bringing his sheaves with him. Now, the word of God is simply telling us that we must go bearing the precious seed if we're going to have a crop. If we're going to have something grow, if there's going to be some sheaves come with us, we're going to be rejoicing over them. We've got to go weeping, and we've got to go bearing the precious seed. And that's the word of God. You bear the precious seed of the word of God, then you'll doubtless come again rejoicing, bearing and bringing with you your sheaves. Now, what I'm saying is, I don't know how much past sowing you've done. I really don't. I don't know that you have to decide that. But if you haven't sowed, you're not going to get a crop out of it.
Amen.
I mean, that's good preaching, isn't it? I mean, that's true. You know, these farmers around here, Brother Jack would tell me, if you don't put out some seed out there, it ain't nothing going to grow. You've got to put the seed out there. And that's what God is telling us. We got to put the seed out there. We've got to do it. Now, you say, well, Brother Ross, you know, I haven't done much sowing. Well, how about the future? Why don't we begin to prepare for a crop?
Yes,
see, sowing for the future. Why don't we say, okay, I haven't done much of that, but I'm going to do now. I'm going to start, because if I don't, there's not going to be any crop grow.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I mean, I don't know why in the world we as Christians think that we're going to get a crop of souls without sowing the seed. It isn't going to happen. I mean, it just isn't going to happen. It doesn't work that way. I mean, is it working in your life? You're not sowing any seed? Are you getting all kinds of people saved? You seeing people saved? Of course not. Because it don't work that way. You understand what I'm saying? So it's important that we understand that principle. I'm not going to spend any more time on that portion of Scripture, but I want to go to the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter of the book of Proverbs. 11th chapter, book of Proverbs. And before I read this, I want you to listen to this preacher a minute. It's my desire as a pastor of a church. The Bible tells me in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the 17th verse, that I will be held accountable for use. You just go and read it and study it sometimes. Start at the 13th verse and go right on down to the 17th verse of Hebrews, 13th chapter. And I'm going to be accountable. So my desire is, I want so much. I really do want so much. Now, it doesn't tell me I'm going to be accountable to make sure that you do everything right. It's to make sure that I tell you right. I'm not responsible for your inaction. But I am responsible to teach you. Right? And I'll be held accountable. So it's my desire as a pastor, I want every one of you to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and God say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want for every single one of you to stand before the Lord and reap that which you've sowed. And I'm not talking about the bad, I'm talking about the good. I want you to be able to stand there and reap the rewards of you sowing. And I know that unless you sow, there will not be the rewards. You've got to sow. Isn't that true? Proverbs, the 11th chapter of Proverbs, start at verse 23. Now, as we read down through here, notice there's a reaping and sowing even in these verses. It's this happens, this happens. And that's always true. But chapter 11, verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. Then he gives the other side, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. He says in verse 24, there is that scattereth. What happens when they scattereth? Yet increases. Okay? Yet increases. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. God said, if you scatter, if you sow, it'll increase. Amen? That's the reaping, that's the sowing, and that's the reaping. But he says, if you withhold more than meat, it's going to tend to poverty. See, it's going to go the other way. If you withhold it, don't scatter it, don't sow it, then you're not going to get anything back from it. It's going to tend to poverty. Okay? And then he says in verse number 5, the liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. See, there's the sowing and the reaping. And he says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. See, what do we get for withholding it? Cursing. And he said, but blessing upon the head of him that selleth it. But if we sell it, if we spread it, if we sow it, blessings. Okay? And then he says in verse number 27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. Listen to what he says. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I'll come back to that. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. In other words, we're going to reap what we sow. Amen. So if you notice, he says in verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You know, we talk about spiritual fruit. We talk about that souls of men. I believe that is true. I believe the fruit that you and I should be producing is other Christians. But notice what he says there. He says the fruit of the righteous is just not a piece of fruit. It's a tree of life. Brother Jack, I did not lead you to Christ, but let's say for the sake of this that I led you to Christ. Now, Brother Jack has become a fruit out of my ministry. I led you to Christ. You're a fruit out of my ministry. Well, what are you? Are you just a piece of fruit? No, thank you. You're a tree. It's good preaching. You're a tree. Now, you know why he says you're a tree? Because you're going to produce another tree. When you get someone saved, then you now have become a tree that has produced. That's why God said that that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Because you produce another tree that produces. You produce another one, and he produces one. See, that's why he said that. Now, what we want to do, he says, that he that winneth souls is wise. Now, didn't he say that? Didn't God say that? He said, if you win souls, you're a wise person. Now, I want to take you over to the book of Daniel and show you what it says about who's wise. In the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Chapter 12 of Daniel, I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 3. And many of them that sleep, that's chapter 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now listen, and they that be wise, remember we just heard, he that winneth souls is wise, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That is where the reaping, the sowing, and the reaping is. When we sow and we get people saved, we're a wise person, and in eternity we're going to shine as the brightness of the stars forever. Now, I don't have all understanding of that, but I personally believe he's talking about the ability through the ages of eternity to shine forth the glory of God, which is going to be a big deal. Now, I don't understand all of it, but I do believe that that's going to be what he's talking about, because the brightness of the firmament, what brightness is going to be there? The glory of God is going to light everything. And we're going to have the ability, he says, that wins souls, that brings many to Christ, turns them to righteousness, is going to shine as the brightness of the firmament. Do you understand what the reason I'm bringing all this out? Do you understand that we're talking about a future? See, we're talking about eternity. And I want it, yes, for myself, but I want it for you. I want you to shine. I want you to reap the blessings of God. And I know unless you sow seed, you're not going to reap. Is that true?
Amen.
Okay. So do you understand, you see, the importance of sowing? You say, well, I haven't sowed much gospel in my lifetime. Well, now's a good time to start. What are you going to do about the future? Why don't you start planning for the rest of your life? And not let a day go by, but what you do something for the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
I mean, amen?
Amen?
See, wouldn't that be good? See, we need to realize that there is not going to be the reaping if there's not been the sowing. Now, how do we sow? Isn't it bearing the precious seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Isn't it that, you know, I know there's many other things that we do to sow, but the basic thing is that we're giving the gospel. We sow the seed of the word of God, you see. And if we don't sow that, how can there be a harvest? Okay? You see, I'm trying to help you with the future of your life. Because I'll tell you what some people think, in all seriousness, they think, well, I just can't do that. I'm exempt. No, you are not. There is not a one of us exempt. Nobody is exempt. If you're a Christian, you are not exempt. It's our responsibility. You say, I know, but my condition, I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. You may have some limitations on how you do it, but it must be done. You understand what I'm saying? And that's responsible for every single one of us. So what I'm trying to get you to do is prepare for the future. Maybe you haven't done much sowing. How about tomorrow? How about the rest of your life? Okay? Now, over in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said to Israel, you sowed to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. There's going to be some kind of reaping out of what we sow. It can be good, it can be bad, but you know, why not make it good? Why wouldn't that be better? in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, did I tell you that? 9th chapter. I want to just read two verses. I'm not going to spend much time on this, but it'll be a help to you if you just listen up. Verse number 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but for God loveth a cheerful giver. As I said, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but here's another, and we could do, I think, a lot of this, but here's another area that you say, well, I've not been a giver in the past, but why don't you start being a giver in the future? Because the Bible says that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now, God said that. Is it true? So we can determine what kind of giving we're going to do, and we determine what kind of reaping we're going to have. Is not that true? Because if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. God said it, and so will I. But he says, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. True? Now, isn't that a good principle? Don't we want to work for the future? Don't we want to look down the road to the future? Because you see, God's going to do the rewarding or the bountifully giving or whatever it may be. He's going to do that. It does not have to be that which we gave. It does not have to be monetarily. And that is what he's talking about through here. If you read the scriptures, chapter 8, chapter 9, he's talking about that. Now, some people, and I hear this all the time, some people say, well, yeah, but Brother Ross, we just don't have anything. We're poor. We can't give anything. You're so foolish because you're setting yourself up for being poor the rest of your life. You are setting yourself up to be poor the rest of your life. That's foolish talking. You give because you're instructed in the Bible to give. You give your tithes and your offering because you're instructed to do that. I don't care who you are. I mean, there's how much you make. It doesn't make a difference. If you make very, very little, you need to give. Because you're violating the principles of the Word of God if you do not. Okay? See, I'm just trying to help you for the future. You say, well, I haven't really given much. Well, why don't you start now? Why don't you start giving right now? Why don't you start bountifully giving instead of sparingly giving so that you'll reap bountifully? Right? See, these things are going to make a difference in eternity. Now, right now, you don't think so, but yes, it will. It'll make a difference in eternity. See? So there again, that's just another area. But I want you to go over to Galatians for just a few moments, the book of Galatians. The 6th chapter of the book of Galatians. And again, we won't spend a whole lot of time on this, but I just want to read it to you. You've read it. You've heard it. He says in verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, immediately after he said that, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, we all have heard this verse of scripture. We understand it. We know. He said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a truth that we all know is true because God said it. We know that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Okay? Now listen to what he said. He said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, God is saying, don't get tired of sowing right things. Don't get tired of sowing the gospel. Don't get tired of sowing your monetary blessings. Don't get tired of it. Why? Because you're going to reap if you faint not. In other words, you've got to keep sowing to gain the blessings. You hear this? Some of you young ones have got a long life ahead of you. You got the privilege. I mean, we trust you do. We hope you do. But you have the privilege of a long life of sowing good things. You do. And that's what I want for you. Some of us may not have that much time to sow, but we still ought to have a plan, a future of sowing. You see, if right now, just let me ask you, if you look back on your life right now, what have you sowed as far as the gospel is concerned that you would gain and reap some good things? Think about it. Where are you at right now? How much have you sowed the seed of the Word of God? What would you reap? Because that's what you get, and usually you reap more than you sow. Whether that's good or, I think, bad. Either one. So where would you be? Now, why don't we make a plan for the future? Why don't we say, okay, I haven't, you know, done so much here, but I'm going to stop that right now. I am going to start sowing so that you reap. Amen? And it's not just for our benefit, it's that it glorifies God. It honors God when we sow. How about your giving? If you right now, if you reaped from your giving, would they be much reaping? And if not, why don't you start now preparing to reap, laying it out for the future? Amen. This preacher, you can't accuse this preacher ever getting up and getting on you about money and telling you you ought to give this and ought to give that. I've always said to you, give what God tells you to give. I've always said that. I mean it now, but I don't want you to cheat God. God's not going to tell you to give 2% of your income. You know what he's going to tell you. It's tithes and offerings. Now you know that. How can we expect to reap if we don't sow? Okay? Now, I want to try to kind of change gears a little bit. I want to go over to verse 14 of the book of Hosea. Verse 14, for Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Really, I'm not going to go back, and I'm not going to read all of that we just read earlier, but if you read the verses in between 7 and verse 14, you will find that what is happening is, here in verse 14, Israel is reaping what they sowed. So it's not that the subject is really changing. It's showing forth what is happening to Israel. They're reaping exactly what they sowed. And this is the problem, you see. It's down the road. We always look at the sowing and we say, well, nothing's bad happened to me. Everything's okay. But you forget. It takes some months for corn to grow. It takes time for the reaping to come forth from the sowing. Okay? Now, I'm not necessarily talking bad things. We can all look, and I want to try to stay off of that subject tonight because a lot of times we talk about that. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just simply saying, how about the good things? See, we're going to have to get busy in sowing the right things. Correct? If we expect to reap them. Amen? So I want you to go with me there over to Second Kings, the 18th chapter of Second Kings. 18 chapter 2 Kings. If you notice in, and you don't have to turn back there, but if you notice in Hosea, the 8th chapter, 14th verse, it says, "For Israel hath forgotten his maker." See, this was his problem. He forgot God. Okay? Forgot God. And he says, "And buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities." What he's talking about there is the fenced cities. He's talking about the fact they have surrounded themselves with defensive fences so that their enemy cannot get in, and they're trusting in their walls and their fences. That's their defense. The enemy is not going to get into them. They've got cities that's walled and fenced, and they're secure. That's who they was trusting in. Okay? So I want to show you an illustration in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 8. He smote the Philistines. Now Hezekiah is the king here, and he said he smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced cities. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. Now he's getting defeated. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. Even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. Now, I want you to notice he said, you see, Hezekiah was strong. He defeated the Philistines, but all at once they began to be defeated. Why? Because God says in verse 12, they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. I don't care how strong, I don't care how big a fences, I don't care how big a walls you have around a city. If you walk away from God, those walls mean nothing. Those fences mean nothing. Look what he says in verse number 13 at the end of it. He says, "King of Assyria came up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." See, they had fenced cities. They was powerful. They was trusted in them. But when they turned away from God, the cities was taken immediately. You see, our trust has got to be in the true, the living God and him alone. And I don't care how powerful. I don't care how powerful. I could take you over to the book of Daniel and talk to you about Belshazzar and how the word of God told Belshazzar about his father, Nebuchadnezzar, and how that he had walked away from God and he ended up out in a pasture somewhere eating like a cow would eat and had feathers and all kinds of things. And why? Because he walked away from God. And then he says to Belshazzar, he said, "Belshazzar, you're the same thing. You know about this. You understood this. And you too have turned against the Lord of heaven." That's what he says. And it wasn't only till that night, that very night, that Belshazzar died. Now, if you know anything about Babylon, you know it was a powerful city. Well-defensed city. Had walls. I've heard all kinds of things, but I've heard that them walls were so wide that you could race 6 chariots on top of them. Very high. I've heard of like 350 feet high. I've heard all kinds of things. I'm not sure how big they was, but they was a mighty, mighty walls. Babylon was in defense greatly, and no one thought it could ever be taken. But he turned against the Lord of heaven, and the gate got left open. The river was diverted. They went in one night, and they overtook them. Persians, the Medes and the Persians come in and overtook them in one night. Why? He had great armies. He walked away from God. You see, what I'm trying to say is, it scares me to think that America is trusting in her own power instead of God. I am so thankful. You are too. I'm thankful for the wonderful soldiers and people, military people we have that's fighting across this land, across this world for America. I'm grateful for them. And I thank God that we have those powerful weapons and all those things. But listen to me. Those things do not mean anything. We will be defeated if we turn our backs on God and forget God. They'll be gone in a moment. We're so powerful, well, ain't nobody can overtake us. In a moment's time, God could send a glitch in a computer and stop all of our weapons, or whatever he decided to do, however he wanted to do it. He could stop anything from going off if he wanted to. Amen. And the enemy could overtake us in a moment's time. So the building of the fenced cities is not what's needed. It's trusting God that's needed. And that's what Israel was doing. They was trusting in the fenced cities. That was their defense. Now I want to show you also in verse 14, Hosea 8. And he says, "And Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples." They was the wrong kind of temples. They was false god temples. That's what they was building. They wasn't building temples toward the Lord. They was building temples to their false gods. They thought because of all of those temples and all of those gods that they had, that surely they would never be defeated. It's what they're saying. Now, I'm saying to you, we've got churches all over this nation. You drive down south and you can't hardly go 3 miles without seeing a church. I mean, they're everywhere. And a lot of other places in America, you see these churches over and over and over. I mean, they're everywhere. And we think because we have all of those churches, church buildings, that we surely are great and God would never ever let anything happen to America. The problem is, what's on the inside of those churches? Are these churches serving the true and living God? Are these churches glorifying God? And that's what he told Belshazzar back there. He said, "You glorified not God." So are we glorifying God? Are the churches of America, we've got them everywhere, but are they glorifying God? Is the word of God preached from their pulpits? Is the word of God taught in their Sunday school classes? In their children's church services? Is the word of God taught? Is God glorified? See, you can have them. You can put a church sign on just about any building in America if you want to, but it doesn't make it a church. Because a church is the pillar and ground of truth. So what is happening in America? Building all these temples? Are we putting our faith in the fact that we have all of these churches all over America and surely God would not? What's in these churches? What's the answer? To build more churches? Now listen, you say, are you for starting churches? Yeah, I'm for starting churches. But I'm for starting churches that are the pillar and ground of truth. Just to put up another building and to start another church is useless unless it has inside it the power of God. And that God is glorified and the preaching of the word of God glorifies God Almighty. Or we might as well take a match and burn it down. See, they build all kinds of temples. Didn't mean a thing. Not one thing. They had fenced cities. It didn't mean a thing. You know why? Because they forgot their maker. They forgot God. So I'm just saying to you today, you know, we need to realize that we will reap what we sow. America is going to reap what she sows. And we better not forget God. And I say to you as Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we had better not forget God, amen, our Maker. And we had better not turn from Him and glorify anything else but God. And honor Him in all that we do and all we say. You believe that? I believe that. Now, you know what that takes? That takes every individual in this church. It isn't done just by the pastor or his staff. It's done by every individual in this church. We must gather together as a people to honor God Almighty, honor his blessed name, and we had better get busy sowing the seed, the precious seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it takes seed time to mature, come up. We better get busy. I believe Jesus is coming. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are. You're the great, the true God. And Father, help us to learn from Israel. These things were written for our admonition as examples to us, Lord. Things that they did wrong, things that they did right. We need to know about them. We need to learn. And we need to do right. Help us to sow right that we might reap right. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.